Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The church in Thessalonica underwent persecution, but nonetheless exhibited the joy of the Lord despite their trials. That's what happens when God's presence is very real, as it is during times of revival. Today, a further look at a church when God shows up. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a six-part series on what happens when God comes to church, taken from 1 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 1, hearing about a living church born of God Himself.
How do you have joy? You can't unless God shows up. Because first of all, what God does is He takes care of the nagging conscience. Can you imagine how joyful you could be if your conscience didn't trouble you over sins that you've committed, over relationships that are broken and mistakes that you have made? Can you imagine having all that taken away and then to be given the confidence that no matter what the fluctuating circumstances are, that you belong to God forever because He chose you to belong to Him? It brings a sense of joy even in the midst of great affliction. And this church had it because God showed up. Let me say also, number four, that it was a growing church. It says in verse 8, "For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything." How in the world did they do that? It sounded forth. Only place in the New Testament where that word is used. Sometimes it's translated, it echoed. Or it's used for the blast of a trumpet. Sounded forth. The word of God came to you and it surrounded the entire area because of your witness. In fact, not only in Macedonia, but it went even beyond that. You see, as ships came into the harbor at Thessalonica, everybody said, "Did you know what's going on in town? People are turning to Jesus Christ." And the people who are turning to Jesus Christ, they treat their wives better than the rest of us. They are people of integrity. You can't get them to lie or to cheat. In fact, some of them left their businesses because they had to be cheating. They never attended the baths anymore because there was too much immorality going on there. And suddenly you have these transformed people who love each other and who are together and without a program necessarily for missions. Word begins to spread all throughout the area that something unusual is happening in Thessalonica. And Paul says, it's as if you took the word of God that we gave you and now you used it. And through its transforming power, it's touched the whole area. Wouldn't it be wonderful if from the Moody Church sounding forth, the gospel would go out to the city of Chicago and beyond. And of course, to some extent, it is going forth to the world through our missionary witness. But we have so much that can be done. And from us, the word of God can go forth and can sound forth throughout the area. And that's what happens when God shows up. The best advertisement for Christianity is a transformed Christian who loves, who is not judgmental, who has a different attitude of integrity. That's the best advertisement for Christianity. The worst advertisement for Christianity is a Christian who's angry, petty, judgmental, selfish, and in other ways, difficult to get along with. If you fit into that category, don't tell people you're a Christian. All right, do us a favor. Keep your faith private. All right? I could tell you a story along that line where a young woman wrote a letter to someone else, wrote a note to someone else in the organization and says, "I just want you to know that I'm a Christian too. But because I do A, B, C, D, I don't want anyone to know it." Well, that is a bad advertisement for Christianity. But the best advertisement are other Christians. The best advertisement for Jesus is tomorrow morning in banks and hospitals and all throughout the Chicago area, wherever God has planted us, all being strong witnesses to to our faith. Notice also it was a focused church. Paul says now in verse 9, "For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." You turn to God from idols. Did you know that you can't turn from your idols? You don't have the strength to turn from your idols. Once you begin the pathway of sin, you cannot turn around. That's why some of you are struggling so deeply with issues and addictions. It's because you can't turn. The only way you can turn from an idol is to turn to God, the living and the true God, and that you can do in the name of Jesus and through his strength. And then you begin to understand the idols for what they are, and you can turn from those idols. And suddenly God becomes more important to you than the idols themselves. I want to be clear today, if you do not value God above all other things, you may not be converted. Because what God does when we're converted is, he gives us a love for God. He gives us a love for Jesus, whom having not seen ye love. You can't turn love on and off like you can a faucet, can you? You can't wake up in the morning and say, "Well, today I'm going to love God." You don't have that power, because we're basically desire-driven and to some extent a prisoner of our desires. If we love God, it is God implanted within us when we were converted and by the ministry of the blessed Holy Spirit. And so we turn to God from idols. All the things that we've insisted upon that we need, all of the rationalizations for who we are. And suddenly we discover that in the process, God has shown up and we are a different people. Well, these are the characteristics of a church where God has shown up. And that's why we're praying this year. That's why we are fasting this year, because we're asking the question, are we ready to have God show up at Moody Church? Let me say that when God shows up, It's a terrible time, and it's a joyful time. It's always both. I've seen it. Terrible because God goes down deep into our souls, and he begins to deal with all of the hidden sins and agendas that we cover and rationalize. And it's painful, just painful. Talk to someone who was in a church where God showed up. She said, "For 3 weeks, I could not do housework. I was under such deep conviction of sin." It's messy when God shows up. But then the joy comes and the freedom comes, because once we see God for who he is and we see sin for what it is, we begin to say to ourselves, there is no value in all the earth that can be compared to the Almighty. And God shows up. And then there's reconciliation. Oh, the pain of reconciliation. I love to tell the story that perhaps you've heard me tell in Canada, where God showed up in Western Canada in the early 70s, many years ago. What happened is there were two brothers who had not talked to each other for years because they had a different opinion of themselves. There were family squabbles, things in their history they didn't want to deal with. And quite frankly, one walked into one door of the church and the other walked in the other, and they knew where the other was so that they would never have to meet. And now suddenly God shows up. The pastor took them to the basement of the church, said, "I'm not leaving," and he asked the elders to gather around, said, "We're not leaving until the two of you are reconciled." Well, one knew that he was caught at least, and he said, "Okay, I'll reconcile." Pastor said, "That's not good enough." And they began to pray there, and the Holy Spirit came upon that group, and one man was under such conviction, he began to pound on the downstairs wall in such a way that they could hear him in the congregation. They could hear him upstairs. And these two brothers were reconciled, and the next night they sang a duet. And people said, "We can't believe it. If God can do that for them, why can't he do that for our family?" You see, that's what happens when God comes to church. It's painful, but it is so incredibly blessed. God showed up in the Thessalonian church. God has shown up in periods of time here in America in ways that are extraordinary, memorable, and transforming. Do you believe as a congregation here at the Moody Church that God could do it again? Do you believe that that's possible? And if he did, we would sing, "In my life, Lord, be glorified," and it would be a prayer of yieldedness, of dedication, of surrender, and saying, "God, whatever it takes, in my life, be glorified." Are you ready? Let's pray. And our Father, we want to thank you today for your faithfulness. Thank you that when you come to church, everything is different. Now, Lord, we have lived so long with spiritual mediocrity. We don't know what this is about. All that we're asking is that you would grace us with your undeserved blessing. And we pray in Jesus' name that you might make us as a congregation alive with the presence and the power of our Lord God. Make us a transforming church in Chicago, in this city, and around the world, because we are desperate for your blessing. And for those who are here today who've never trusted Christ as Savior, may they have heard what was said and know that they need to be converted. May they trust Christ and believe in him and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, my friend, when we in sincerity sing, "In my life be glorified," it simplifies our lives. Then we begin to ask the question, what is it really that motivates me? Why am I alive? How can I best represent Jesus Christ in a fallen world? All of that flows from a basic commitment to live not for ourselves, but for the Lord and for his glory. And you know, a part of that is, of course, managing our emotions. As a matter of fact, I've written a book by that title. It is entitled Managing Your Emotions, because what I have discovered is, as you look at the Bible, Jesus had emotions. We all have emotions. Sometimes those emotions can be good. Sometimes they are a great hindrance. The question is, how do we biblically view emotions, and how can we channel them to bring glory to God?
Erwin Lutzer concluded a message on A Living Church, the first in a series on what happens when God comes to church. Next time on Running to Win, we'll learn about a serving church. Pastor Lutzer's book on managing your emotions can transform your life. This book will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.